continue along. On Daf Tazayin Amud Aleph, about halfway down the Amud, continuing along in the Bitlo Velo Bitlo Kimo Velo Kimo Machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. According to Rashi, Rav Yochanan is the one who holds Bitlo Velo Bitlo. According to Reish Lakish, Kimo Velo Kimo. Totally different mechanism for when you'll get Malkus for Lashon Nita Gasei. Bitlo Velo Bitlo means that in order to get Malkus, you have to be Mevatel the Asei Dayim in an irreversible way, that it's not possible to ever be mekayim it again, and that's when you'll get malchus for the lav. In a certain way, the bitul ha'ase is in the aveira, or at least in the malchus of the lav. And short of that, there won't be malchus. That's according to the shita bitul v'lo bitul. Kimo v'lo kimo says that if you're mekayim the essay, then you will be part of a malchus. If you're not mekayim the essay, then you'll get malchus. The time frame is either right away toch kedei divor, or, as Rashi here has it, when you get to Beis Din gives you that choice, and if you act for the Kiyam Ma'aseh, then you're parted from Malkus. Otherwise, you get Malkus. The Gemara explained that this Machlokus has to do with another Machlokus of Yochanan Reish Lakish regarding Hasra Safik. Rav Yochanan holds Hasra Safik is good, and Reish Lakish's Hasra Safik is not good. The cases that we saw, for example, if a person takes a Shvuah to eat this Kikar for the duration of the day, that's one case of Hasra Safik, as we explained yesterday. Another example of Hasra Safik is if a person takes a shvua on a kikar that I won't eat this kikar, if I eat another kikar, and you give Hasra at the first kikar, you don't know what's going to be later on. That's Hasra Safik. So too over here, we have Hasra Safik. When do we have Hasra Safik? So according to the Shita Rashi, Bitlo Bo Bitlo always says Hasra Safik at the time of the Hasra, which is when you're doing the lav. You don't know whether you end up being Mevatel the Aseh later on or not. Therefore, it becomes a Hasra Safik. Rav Yochanan Lishitaso holds it's okay. Kimo Velo Kimo doesn't have the problem of Hasra Safik. So the simple way that we read from Rashi is because the violation already brings you the Chi of Malkus right now definitively. The fact that you can mekayim the essay is just a way to substitute a different onesh in the form of a Kima essay. But as far as the Hasra and the Chi of Malkus, everything is nigma right now. Tosus didn't quite see it that way. Tosus assumes that the fact that you can kind of the essay afterwards and then not be chayav malchus presents a problem also of Hasra Safik seemingly. So why does the Gemara assume that there's no Hasra Safik problem according to Mandam Akima Bulakimo? Tosus gets the big yesod that if you imagine right now, according to the status of where we are right now, the person would get malchus because right now he's not in the state of Bima kind of assay. So then that's called Hasra Vaday. Whereas Bitlo Velo Bitlo, you have to do a Maisa of the Mevatel de Ase in order to incur Malkus. That's called Hasra Safik. The Raya Tosus brought from Nazir, Sheishos Yayin, and the raid that we had yesterday in terms of that Indian. Either way, we continued in the Gemara. We saw that Rav Yochanan is in fact of the opinion Hasra Safik is good enough. Reish Lakish holds that it's not good enough. In the backdrop of all of this, just to remind everybody, the Shita, the Rishonim, it was a whole different approach to the Sugya. They flipped the shitas. They assumed that the problem of Hasra Safik is actually a problem in Kimo Velo Kimo, and Rav Yochanan, who holds it's Hasra Safik Shema Hasra, is able to hold Kimo Velo Kimo. Bitlo Velo Bitlo does not have the problem of Hasra Safik, and that's because they assume that Hasra can be given at the time that the Mevato the essay, and therefore it's called Hasra Vaday. On the other hand, Kimo Velo Kimo means that you have to make the essay at some point in your life, and therefore you don't know, maybe you'll do it, and therefore it's called Hasra Safik. Okay. Either way, we get to another shlav in the sugya, and the Gemara begins by quoting a Mishnah. Says the Gemara, it's the last line before they get wide on the side of it, Aleph. Tanan Hasam. We learned over there. Over there means a Mishnah in Chulin. This is very nice for those in yeshiva who feel that maybe they didn't have a chance to learn Chulin, they didn't have a chance to Messiah Chulin. All right, so here we have Kemat, the last daf of Chulin. Today's shir, and you know, discuss in the inyanim that are found mamish at the very end of Masechta Chulin. We'll have a little bit of that today. The inyan of Shiluach HaKein, which is the last parak of Masechta Chulin. So the Gemara quotes the Mishnah. The Mishnah states, "Tanan Hasam Hanoto Eim Alabanim Machokis Tanayim," regarding whether there'll be malchus for the aveira of Losikach Eim Alabanim. Tanan Hasam Hanoto Eim Alabanim. Someone who violates Tiluach HaKein, he's no to Eim HaRabbanim. The Pasuk says, Losikach Eim HaRabbanim. We're soon going to discuss exactly what all this means. The person did that Aveira, he's no to Eim HaRabbanim. The Torah says, Losikach Eim HaRabbanim. Rav Yehuda Omer lo ka ve'ena mishalech. Rav Yehuda says that the automatic result of that is that there's malchus. There's no dispensation of being mekayim and asay of shalech to shalach. The fate is sealed. Lo ka ve'ena mishalech. That's Rav Yehuda. Chachamim omrim, they say no mishalech ve'ena loke. That the person has the mitzvah to mishalech the mother, shalech to shalach is the aim, as the pasuk goes on to say. And with doing that, he doesn't get malchus. That's what the Mishnah says is the shita of the Chachamim. And the Mishnah concludes with the following words. Tzakal, this is the rule, generally, kol mitzvah lo shaseh sheish bokum asay in chayavin aleha. Any lav that has an asay, meaning we call that a nitag asay, there's no malchus. So that obviously is for the Chachamim. In this case, the Aveira, Vosikachem Arabanim, has an assay connected to it, namely Shaleach the Shalach Esaim, which is why the Chachamim say Mishaleach the Enaloken. So says the Mishnah in Chulin. But even before we start analyzing and parsing this Mishnah, we should just be aware of a simple fact that this Mishnah appears not just in Chulin Kuf Mem Aleph, which is what it sounds like from the Lashna Gemara, Tanan Hasam, meaning somewhere else. But if we just go a daf ahead and we take a look at daf Yudzayin Amud Aleph, turn the page in Makis, so at the very end of the next Mishnah, we have literally verbatim the exact Mishnah that we just read from Chulin Kuf Mem Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Nota Le Malabanim, Rabbi Yehuda says, Loka Vein Mishaleach, Lacham say, Shaleach Vein Aloka, Zeha Klal, the entire Mishnah that we have in Chulin appears here at the end of the Mishnah on daf Yudzayin Amud Aleph. So it's interesting, the Gemara says, Tanan Hasam, you know, the expression goes, like you find in Svarim, Mimercha Tavi Lachma, the Pasuk in Eishes Chayil. Why does the Gemara have to go Mimercha to bring its bread from far away in Tanan Hasam and Chulin? The Gemara could have quoted Tanan Hacha, right? So yeah, so the Ritva is omitted on this point. The Ritva says that the Iker source for this Halacha, this Machokis, is in Chulin. So that's why the Gemara quotes it from there. That's Tanan Hasam. In other words, it's here, but Ikra b'perek shiluach hakein. I think the Rashash points out, maybe we find sometimes that the Lashon Hasam can be used even within the same Masechta. So for all we know, if we can find a precedent for that, maybe the Gemara is actually quoting the Mishnah Daf Yizayin. Hasam means coming up. But either way, we have the words of the Mishnah both on Yudzayin Amud Aleph and Makis, the words of the Mishnah in Chulin. And the Gemara is going to proceed now to quote an observation of Rabbi Yochanan in connection to what it says in this Mishnah and the implications of the Mishnah. And that has to do with the notion, again, of bitlo v'lo bitlo and the possibility of getting Malkus. And we're going to have one example over here for the Chachamim. And you're going to have to find another example. And we're going to go through all kinds of cases. And that's going to basically take us till Amud Beis, till the two dots. What I want to do today, however, is not even begin the next part of the Gemara. Maybe at the very end of Shir, we'll have to see if there's a few minutes we can start on the end of the Gemara. But most of Shir today, really, I want to focus much more carefully on exactly what we're talking about. You know, we've been using the expressions of Shiluach HaKein and Lusikachem Alabanim and Bitlo and breaking her wings and shechting the mother. And we're talking about a lav that's violated and Asev Shaliach Deshalach. I think it would be behooving for us to step back. We think about Shiluach HaKein all the time. We have all kinds of nice messages that come out of Shiluach HaKein. We all know the Mishnah in Brachas of the Shliach Tzibur. That's not supposed to say, Al Kan Tzipa Yegi Rachamecha. We have the very long Ramban in Chumash on Shiluach HaKein and Taimi HaMitzvahs. We have the Ramor Nebuchim. Everyone knows the classic things that people like to associate with Shiluach HaKein. I think that sometimes we miss basics when we talk a lot about, you know, very important in Yanim, Taimi HaMitzvahs and so on. I began to look into this and I realized it's far from simple, simply to understand what we're talking about in the Pasuk in Chumash. So I think basically we should just start with that and try to just get a perspective on what exactly is going on here. Now, even before we read Rashi, we have Rabbi Yehuda, we have the Chachamim, we have the Machlokes. But what exactly is the Torah telling us? And then we can go from there to see Rabbi Yehuda's perspective, the Chachamim's perspective, exactly what is the mitzvah? And we'll have to fit it in, of course, to the two shittas that we just read in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda says, if a person violates the Sikachem Malabanim, then what? Then there's Malkus, and there's no option of Mishaleach, And the Chacham say, Mishalach Be'en Aloke. But what exactly is the Torah talking about? Again, which is not really all that there is to focus on. There's even more than what I'm going to do today. There's all kinds of issues of, you know, is it a mitzvah chiyubis, a mitzvah kiyumis, and all kinds of related issues, and that's for another conversation. And the perek in Chulin is a very beautiful perek to learn if you want to learn something over the summer break. Some of that's a nice perek to pick as well. But I simply want to understand a few basic inyanim relating to what the Torah is talking about, and this is going to connect, of course, to the Chachamim Rabbi Yehuda as well, exactly what is the mitzvah Shaleach Tesharach, what is it referred to? But maybe before anything else, just to simply touch the words of the pasuk. It says, Ki yikar kan sipa ufanacha baderech, v'choleitz al ha'aretz. So you chance upon a nest on the road. Each of these words, of course, are meant to be darshan, and there are all kinds of drushes Chazal have from every phrase here. Efrochim oveitzim, this is chicks or eggs. V'ha'em rovetzis al efrochim oveitzim. So you have the mother bird is hovering over the chicks, over the eggs. So the Torah now tells me the following azhara. It's a lav in the Torah. Lo sikacha'em al habonim. What exactly is the Torah telling us what one may not do? What is the lav? What is the lav? What is the meaning of those words? Lo sikacha'em al habonim. What exactly is being said in this pasuk?
Don't take the mother bird away from the children.
Okay, so what you're saying is one interesting possibility. So you're saying take the mother away from the children. So you basically translated al habanim means from the children, from on the children, as if it would say, I guess you can add a prefix, may al habanim. Lo sikacha em may al habanim. In other words, the Torah is telling us you may not take the mother from while it's on the children. It's very interesting. The Lashon HaPasuk is Osika Chaim Al Habanim, and so is the Lashon HaMishnah that we just quoted here, right? It says, Okeach or Hanotel Aim Al Habanim. I found, this is also the Nusach in the Tosefta in Chulin, but I found it also in the Sifrei, which is quoting the Mishnah. It's Lashon HaChazal. The Mishnah in Chulin that we just quoted, there the Lashon of the Sifrei is, Hanoto aim may al habanim. So it says Rabbi Yehuda, here it says Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Yehuda says loke ve'en mishaleach, v'chacham romi mishaleach ve'en aloke, v'haklal. So it basically is the same Mishnah with one change, at least. I mean, there's another change as well, of course, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, the son of Rabbi Yehuda holds like his father. But the change that I'm focusing on is Hanoto aim may al habanim. So basically what you said is that the lav has to do with taking the mother from over the children. Now, one could perhaps glean this from Lashon Rashi and Chumash, although it's not 100% muchrach, but very much possible to read it into Rashi, because Rashi says the following words on the pasuk, lo sikacha em, quote, ba'oda al baneha, while she's on her children. It could be Rashi is trying to convey the same idea, that the issur is to take the mother while she's on the children. So al habanim, from on the children. It could be Rashi means something else, that the Isser only exists, we'll see what the Isser might be, when the mother is actually in contact, touching. But Umayisa Rashi could also be interpreted, the Minchas Chinuch takes this for sure to be Pshat and Rashi. The Rashi is understanding the Isser to be what you just said, meaning to take the mother by herself from the children. However, there's a totally different pshat that one can read in the pasuk, and many of the mefarshim and chumash, as well as the Rambam Mor Nevuchim, seem to learn this way, and the Rambam we see in the Yad as well. What does it mean? L'sikachaim al-Rabban, the Chacham Tzvi actually holds this way in the Tshuva l'Halacha, that the Isser has to do with taking the mother and the children, both. And the words al habanim is like saying im habanim. So, for example, I just read you a couple of them. I have the Torah Chaim Chumash in front of me. So, Rabbeinu Sadya Gaon, al habanim, im habanim. So, right away, he touches al to mean im. The Chizkuni brings examples that you find the al can mean im. The Chizkuni says, im habanim dugma, al stei arfi chashev, al olas hatamid, al pirsha yisrof, I think we read out Alos HaTamid this morning in the Kriyas HaTorah B'Shchodesh. Am I right? Am I right? The very last pasuk of Kriyas HaTorah. Al Alos HaTamid. With. He says, with. That's how he reads the Al. With the Alos HaTamid. Okay. Al Pirsha Yisrof. Im. So, Hoshika Chaim Al HaBanim. Not to take the mother with the children. Very different reading of the pasuk, and it comes out as a very different love. Now, this is one issue to think about. Again, what exactly did the Torah say is aser? And obviously this could feed into different possibilities in terms of the underlying issue of what the nature of the iser is, the possibility of looking at it as if you're taking the whole min and you're making it extinct. Symbolically, that makes sense according to this pshat that we're saying now. You're taking the mother and the children both. So that's how some of the mefarshim seem to take it. It's like derech achzarius, that you're taking the both of them together. It's me'ein, the idea of another pasuk that says, Oso ve'espino lo sishchatu biyom echad. So the Torah has an iser, not to shech the mother, it could even be the father, the Gemara says, but meaning the parent and the child, the two animals, if you shechted, for example, the father, that you're not going to shech on the same day, the mother. It's an iser lo sishchatu biyom echad. The Ramban in Chumash points out that many of the mitzvahs in Sefer Devarim, I should say, are meant to elaborate on mitzvahs that we've already found in the earliest form of the Chamisha Chumshi Torah. So the Ramban says, Gamzu mitzvah nivu eres. This is a mitzvah that already has been somehow alluded to already. Again, even if it's a different mitzvah in Tayag, but it's the idea behind this mitzvah is not something totally new. And that is also v'espino was sishchatu biyom echad, ki atam b'shneim has to do with having azarius v'lo nerachem, osho yati akasav v'asos hashchas alakor hamin. So if you take the aim v'habanim biyom echad, that's ki'ilu yachris hamin hahu. So the Ramban seems also to be going al derech what we see in the other Rishonim, that the iser is not what you said before, to take the mother by herself while she's on the children. The issue is to take the mother and the children. That's a whole different reading of the issue. And there's a lot to be mefalpel and kashis and diyukim. If you look at Minchas Chinuch on this mitzvah, he has kashis on this pshat. The Chacham Tzvi holds like this, and he has a gemara that he wants to ask a kasha on. So we're not going to go all into all the ins and outs and so on, but just to be aware of a very simple thing regarding what exactly the Torah was masir. Now we have to focus on Hasharach the Sharach Esa'im. And now the machokis that we have here in the Mishnah that's very relevant to understand the context of Sharach the Sharach. Exactly what is it? It's a mitzvah. It seems to be a mitzvah saseh. But exactly what is the nature of this mitzvah saseh? Exactly when does the Torah speak to this situation that the Torah gives you the mitzvah saseh? Exactly how do we frame it? Do we call it a lafshe kadmo asay? Do we call it something different? Do we call it a lafshe nitag asay? Is it all the same thing? And this is where we get to the language of the Mishnah that we have to look here, Rashi elsewhere and beyond, to understand exactly what's being said in the Torah when it says, shaliach tishalach esayim. So, umashal, let me just think aloud with you. Let's take the first approach that was stated before, right? The iser is to take the mother from the children, not to take both, to take the mother. So let's understand. But the Torah says, Shaliach tishalach esayim. Now, we still have to figure out when the Torah was directing this mitzvah to what point. We're going to see Reuven HaChacham. But let's assume for a second that the mitzvah exists after you took the mother, right? Or just simply to say, let's put it in these terms. Shaliach tishalach. How is that done? You could say, you could go shoo, 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 and the mother goes. Or you could take the mother, amanas l'shaleach, right? You picked up the mother. No, so you pick up the mother, so are you not already in violation of something? So what's happening exactly? Does the mitzvah always mean you didn't avera? That's hard to imagine. I mean, again, it could be the Torah's only speaking about a case we did an avera, or it could be there's a mitzvah independent of the Avera, but how could that be? If you're telling me that the Avera is to take both, so So then taking the mother, you haven't done any avera yet, but you have a mitzvah, so you take the mother and you send her off. If the avera is already committed when you take the mother from the child, then how can you have a mitzvah, so you have to shalach, at the same time you did an avera? Mamish, at the same time you took the mother, no? So you said, go seek a cha'im. I'm not asking in the perspective of a tikkun of the lav. I'm saying, how is there a mitzvah without there being an avera? But the answer would be simply that it'll have to do with what you're thinking about, right? If you're taking the mother al-menash to take her to yourself, then that could be the avera. If you assume the avera is just taking the mother by herself, then there's an avera. And then we could talk about a tikkun for the avera, possibly, of shaliach to shalach, as we'll soon see. But if we talk about taking the mother l'chatchila with the das that you're going to send her off, then hakol modim, you didn't do an avera. The avera, even if you hold like the first possibility, not the chachan tzvi, the diuk of Rashi, for example, that the avera is taking the mother herself. So, b'medva mamurim, but you have an avera if you took her for the sake of taking her for yourself. But if you take her amenas l'shaleach, which is what the Gemara mentions in Chulin as well, such a possibility, as opposed to taking not amenas l'shaleach, then of course you're doing the mitzvah as opposed to doing an avera. I mean, could you be mekayim the mitzvah without taking it? That's another discussion. Maybe you could just get her to fly away without having to take her. Okay, that could also be. But suppose you take her amenas l'shaleach, l'chera, that's not called an avera. Right? If there's a mitzvah, shaleach to shalach. So you took her amenas l'shaleach.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
Just in terms of practicality, what are we saying is like a nafkamina between like sending her off and taking her? We're just saying like maybe one is like we're forcing her to come with, and the other one is like
So look, if sending her off means you don't have to even do anything except shooing her away, then there's no connection between the lo sikach as an avera and the shleach tishalach as a mitzvah, because shleach tishalach doesn't involve taking her at all. But the pashtus, if you take her, And your intention was from the beginning to take her to do the shiluach, so I think also you have to agree that's not called an avera. The avera was sikach ha'em is only amenas, not amenas l'shalcha. If you're doing amenas l'shalcha, then that's not a sikach ha'em alabanan. That's mamish the mitzvah shaliach. If the act of shiluach is done by taking her and doing shiluach, it's like one ma'isa. Then the ma'isa that you did is not a ma'isa losikach ha'im alabanim. It's a ma'isa of shiluach. You're being mishaleach. Again, you could argue that maybe shiluach should be done without taking her first. But you could certainly hear what I'm saying is also possible. You could take her amenas l'shalcha, so that's not a violation. So again, these are important in yanim that can probably have to be sorted out more carefully. And the sugi and chulin there is quite remarkable. I mean, the daik, all kinds of things from that Amud Gemara, Kufim Aleph. We can't do everything at the same time. But, of course, if you want, you can look at Mechaz Chinuch and look at the Gemara, and you can come up with a lot of interesting diyukim on this issue. But just to be aware at this point, so far, all we've pointed out is that there simply seems to be a machlokes. What is the pshat of the Isser? The Isser, lo sika ha'em al habanim. Does it mean ha'em im habanim, which is the issue of taking mother and children, or does it mean taking the mother may al habanim, like the girsa that we quoted from the Sifrei? And then, of course, we have to think about the mitzvah shaliach tishalach, and that's exactly what we're going to focus on now. Exactly where does that mitzvah fit in to the larger story of this person who chanced upon a kansipa? Does the Torah speak to the person at the very beginning of the story and says shaliach tishalach? Does the Torah speak to the person at the end of the story, when he did the avera l'sika chayim alabanim, there's a way to remedy in the form of shaliach tishalach? Does the Torah shaliach tishalach speak to both cases? Is the shaliach tishalach that speaks to the mitzvah initially, that there's a fulfillment of the mitzvah, and you could say a bitul mitzvah if he doesn't do it, when he has it and doesn't do the shaliach tishalach from the very beginning? And then there's also an assay of shaliach tishalach after the fact. This is exactly what we have to sort out. Obviously, this is going to tie right in to Machlokes of Yehuda and the Rabbanan. But we have to see exactly what is Rabbi Yehuda hold, what is the Chachamim hold. There really, again, are three, at least three possibilities, if not more. Shaliach Tishach speaks specifically to the initial point in the story, but not to the subsequent point of the story. In other words, when you chance upon Kansipor, what Torah says is the following. what you have to do, what you should do is shaliach the shalach, as opposed to lasika chaim. So it's basically an asay and a los one at the very beginning of the story. So this is one way to think about it. So it's simply relating to the beginning of the story and shaliach the shalach subsequent to the violation, if one would have in fact done the Aveira, whatever the Aveira we would say it is, however one violates it, once that violation has occurred, there is no mitzvah left upon the person of Shaliach Tishach. Shaliach Tishach speaks to the very beginning of the story. That would be one model. We'll see if that fits with Rabbi Yehuda, right? That's one way. Then we have another way to think about it, and that is that, and that would be, I both say just back in, because I'm going to just plug in, because I don't want to lose anybody. I just got a message that the battery is getting low, so I'm just going to back in. Okay. So the other possibility would be to say the opposite extreme, that the mitzvah really only relates to the subsequent point after the Torah, in which case you could argue that there really is no mitzvah per se of Shaliach Tishalach unless there was an Avera committed. Then there's a third possibility. The third possibility would be that the mitzvah Shaliach Tishalach can exist in one of two forms, in one of two points. The mitzvah exists from the get-go, whether you violated the law or not, at the very beginning. There's a mitzvah shaliach tishalach, and there's also the mitzvah that continues to exist or applies as well. Obviously, that would be something along the lines of what we call kadmoaseh, from the perspective of the fact that even though it's written after the law, but it could have been fulfilled before. So of course, that ties us into the question of law shekadmoaseh, lokin alav, ein lokin alav. In other words, if you have an aseh that you could fulfill afterwards, but you could have also fulfilled before the lav. So that's another way to think about this situation. You have a mitzvah right away, you also have a mitzvah that after you violate l'sikach ha'em, you still have a mitzvah shaliach tishalach. L'chayra, that would be similar to kad mo'aseh. Everyone here, the three possibilities how you can conceptualize shaliach tishalach. Now, in light of this, let's take a look at what the Mishnah says. Rashi here, Rashi in Chulin, the Sugyas in Chulin. Now, let's take a look. Before anything, just again, the words of the Mishnah. Anoto eim alabanim. So the Tanakhama, or Rabbi Yehuda rather, says, he's first, loke ve'ena mishaleach. Chacham same shaleach ve'ena loke.
Rabbi?
Yes.
How can the Chizkuni and others say that it's derech achzarios to take the mother? The Gemara Bracha says it's not Rachmanis, it's Eino Ela Xeros?
Yeah, so that's a very, very good question. That's a very long arichas in the Mor Nebuch, the Ramban and Chumash. Basically, there's a lot of different ways to go with this. The Ramban says that there are different shittas in Chazal. That seems to be that the Ram takes it, and we can go with this opinion, and there's a different opinion that's rejected. The Ramban learns that the point is as follows, that if you assume that the Torah gave this mitzvah because Hashem himself has rachmanis, so it's Hashem's rachmanis that we're highlighting. Hashem himself has feelings and Hashem feels bad. That's the point that we're trying to say is derech minus. But if we say that the Torah gave us a mitzvah in order to be melamed us, to have rachmanis, to have midos tovos, Torah, the Torah gives mitzvahs in order to l'sarif benes habrios. And the Ramban brings a lot of makoros of Chazal that the mitzvahs are meant with sarifes abrios. So the Ramban in Chumash, classic Ramban in Chumash and Parshas Kisetze, they're a very long, lengthy Ramban. It's worth learning, where he's marach to explain what this means. So there certainly is, yeah, and there's also a very, very long chinuch, if you're really interested at your own time. One of the longest chinuch as well is here in the mitzvah of Lach HaKein. Very worth reading. But again, that's why I say, you know, this is something we hear about in a lot of different contexts, but I think now that we're learning it from the formal trappings of the classic Gemara of bitro, kima v'lo kima, when is there malchus, here we have to get, we're the hat of a halachis, not a tamia mitzvah hat. And we have to define exactly what is the nature of the lav, what is the nature of the assay, when is the malchus, and we have to be very precise in trying to answer that question. But of course, the other dimension is also very, very important. Okay, so let's go back to the language of the Mishnah and see exactly what we have here in terms of the language of Rabbi Yehuda, the language of the Chachamim. The words of Rabbi Yehuda, Loke ve'en mishaleach. The Chacham says, ve'en loke. So obviously, the fact that the Chacham says, mishaleach ve'en loke, means, obviously, that there is a mitzvah of shaleach tishalach that is the basis of patering from Malkus. And of course, the basis for that is what we know, as the Mishnah goes on to say, ze'aklal. That means it's a lav shenita glase. Right? So that's the Chachamim's position, that one can fulfill the mitzvah, mishaleach tishalach, after the lav was violated, and thereby be patur from Malkus. Right? Will he be patur from Malkus even if he hasn't yet done it? Does he have a window of time to do it? Does he have only till Beis Din gets to him? Does he have a life until he kills the bird? Of course, that's going to tie us into kimavu, kimabitlo, vobitlo. But basically, the Chachamim's idea is that we can certainly conceptualize this asay salach as making the lav into a lav shenita glase. What's not 100% clear in the Chachamim is, do the Chachamim hold that the mitzvah also to begin with, in other words, separate from violating the lav, one would have the mitzvah shereach tishalach even from the beginning? And the fact that you can be kind of it afterwards is enough to view it as a lav shenita glase. Now, in order to say that, we're going to have to get to another hoop, and that's the we started off with on Yudalad and Beis and got us started on this whole sugya, which is Rav Yochanan holds lav shekadmo asay is what is loken alav. It's different asay. Now, what is the definition of kadmo asay? So, if kadmo asay is just a function of the language of the pasuk, then I don't have a problem here because the language of the pasuk is losika chaim alabanim shereach tishalach asay. But if I define kadmo asay, like Rashi was saying, and Tosis in the beginning of the sugya, that kadmo asay means that one is possible to be mekayim without violating the lav, if you're going to assume that the essay does in fact exist before you violate the lav, so the fact that you can also be mekayim the lav, but how does that help you to say that you don't get malchus mishalech vein aloke if you hold lav she kadmo asay loken alav? So to say what I just said, that the chachamim would have to on the other side of that issue, not the shita of Rabbi Yochanan of Lach Kadmo Asay Lokan Alav, but the shita of, as Rashi pointed out, Rish Lakish, who Rashi made the Cheshara, we explained it, that Rish Lakish is actually arguing of Yochanan who holds Kadmo Asay Lokan Alav, Rish Lakish holds Ein Lokan Alav, for Rish Lakish there's no difference between Rav Kadmo Asay Lokan Alav, and then we could all fit that into the Chachamim. That's, of course, only according to Rish Lakish, if you hold that he holds Kadmo Asay is a Asay. If you're going to hold that a lav to Kadmo Asay is different, and you're going to define Kadmo Asay that he could have been Mekayim the Asay before violating the lav, then the Chayra is going to lead us down the path that the Chachamim are going to obviously be holding that the mitzvah Shereach Tishalach is only applicable in the wake of violating the lav. That's interesting, right? Everyone hear what comes out. Otherwise, you're getting to the problem of Kadmo Asay, and if Rabbi Yochanan holds Kadmo Asay Lokan Alav, then how can the Chachamim say that Mishaleach Ve'en Alokan? Now, that's from the perspective of the Chachamim. Now, let's go to Rabbi Yehuda, and then let's speak outside, then we'll see the Rashi. Here, the Rashi together. Rabbi Yehuda says, Lokan Ve'en Mishaleach. So, let's introduce the Gemara and Chulin first, and then we'll see Rashi and Chulin, and also Rashi here. And here you get perhaps a little of a different perspective in Rabbi Yehuda. You see, what is Rabbi Yehuda's shita based on? The Gemara, right? If you have your Gemara Chulin, I hope you have a chance to see the Gemara Chulin. So look at the Gemara Kufnim Aleph right after the Mishnah. The Gemara has an interesting suffix, Bedas Rabbi Yehuda. A suffix that doesn't get even mentioned in our Gemara, in Rashi, or anywhere, but the Gemara ends up rejecting it, but it's interesting. Because the Rambam seems to hold this way in his Pirsha Mishnais, and everyone is jumping on the Rambam, how could it's against the Maskanas HaGemara and Chulin. The Maestro, the Gemara has a Shaila as follows. Boy, Rav Abba Bar Mamu. This is Mamish right after the Mishnah in Kufna Malf Med Aleph. If you have it, you can me. Boy, Rav Abba Bar Mamu as follows. Taima Rav Yehuda is of Yehuda's reasoning. Yehuda says again, Noto Ema Labanim, Loka Ve'en Mishaleh. Is of Yehuda's Shita because Mishum de Savar, Rav Shenita Grase Lokin Alav. Ah, maybe Rav Yehuda's shita is that why say Lokin Alav? He agrees with the conceptual definition of the Lav of Losika Chaim vis-a-vis the Asay, that in fact it is a Lav Shenita. But he argues on what the Mishnah says as a basic klal, that Zeh klal, if there's a low sase shish, but come and say, in Lokin Alav, if Yehuda this, Rav Yehuda is of the opinion, the Lav Shenita Grase Lokin Alav. Of course, everyone is going to jump on top of me, right? We read a Gemara earlier in the Amr. What did Rav Yehuda talk about by Nosa? What did Rav Yehuda say by Nosa? Everyone is asking the question or thinking the question, right? The Gemara had such a possibility, raised such a possibility for Rav Yehuda. Did Rav Yehuda give the reason for why Nosa doesn't get Malkus? Is why? Okay, so we have a little patience. The Gemara raises this as a possibility. Rav Yehuda holds that Lavshin did not say Lokin Alav. Possibility. Says the Gemara, O Dilma, or perhaps the Alma in general, Sava Lavshin did not say in Lokin Alav. Okay? But the reason for Rabbi Yehuda here, who holds that the din is loka ben mishaleach, is because mishum tekasavar saleach meikara mashma. We have the Gemara presenting what turns out to be the maskana of Gemara, that shitas Rabbi Yehuda is, and he holds saleach meikara mashma. Saleach tishach is going to the beginning of the story. So let's see what Rashi says in Chulin. I'm reading from Chulin, so let's see Rashi on these words. Shalech ne'ikara mashma, says Rashi, second, a third line from the Hachi kamakra. Lo sika cha'em, da'veira v'lo sika cha'em, avo, ma yesh alecha lasos, kishatimsa kan, when you find a kan, a cane, you find a nest. Shalech tishach rather, what should you do instead of what I'm telling you, losikach, what should you do? You should do shaliach v'shalach. Ve'en kan nitak la'aseh. Ela averas aseh v'lo sa'aseh. It's an averas aseh v'lo sa'aseh. In other words, a person who took the mother violates losikach v'shalach, who took both, whatever the shita will be. Let's say now who took the mother, let's take it simple, Rashi and Chumash is mashma that way. So what did the person do? He violates two things simultaneously. He's doing the Aveira of Losika Chaim. And what else is he doing? He's violating the Esev Shalach. Okay? And now what? What's left at this point for Rabbi Yehuda? What does it seem like from Rashi now? So what is it from Rashi? That according to Rabbi Yehuda, why does he get Malkus? Not because Nitagashe gets Malkus. But because what I have in this essay of Shalach Tishach, or this Lav of Sika, is a Lav that's not Nitagla Asseh. Because the Asseh of Shalach Tishach in no way speaks to the situation of after you took the mother and you violated Losikach. In other words, the Shalach Tishach is going together with the Losikach in the beginning of the story. Look at what she says. Shalach Neikara Mashma. Shalach Neikara Mashma. In other words, there's not Nitagah say, don't take the mother. Rather, what should you find this concept for? Shaliach tishalach. The inka Nitagah say. El avira sase velosa ase. Ipnei shuase kadam. When sase kadam, does Rashi mean the formulation of Rashi kadmul ase of our sugya? The Rashi kadmul ase of our sugya means what? As we saw in the sugya before. Kadmul ase means that you do the ase afterwards. The Mekayim and Aseh afterwards, but this Aseh could have just as well been fulfilled without violating the law. That's called Kadmo Aseh. Rashi here is saying, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, is it because of Kadmo Aseh Lokin Alav, or is it because there is no Aseh at all after you violate Losikach? What is it clear from Rashi? No, Chevra. What is it clear from Rashi?
There's no Aseh afterwards.
When Rashi says Aseh Kada means the Aseh was before, the Aseh were related to the beginning of the story. The Aseh does not in any way apply afterwards. That's how Rashi takes the words of the Gemara, make Shaleach Meikara Mashma. Now, there's also an earlier Rashi on the Amud, an earlier Gemara, where all the Gemara mentions of Yehuda Shita as part of a very interesting Shaka Vitaria. Derech Agav, it also mentions Bitlo Vlo Bitlo. We have a lot to talk about. If we had more time, we could get into the Bitlo Vlo Bitlo of the Gemara in Chulin. very, very interesting Gemara earlier. But just the Rashi that I want you to look at a little earlier, on the Rashi says, Dibra Maschil, Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar, right? Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar, b'masnis, and lo k'be'en b'shaleach. So it's the second wide line. Rashi explains, the Amar l'kaman, the Gemara says later, the Hainu time of Rabbi Yehuda, Kavar shaleach me'ikara mashma. Kilomar. So Rashi again explains what this means. Lo sika cha'em, don't take the mother, avo, kishetimsa en shalchena. When you find her, ki karikan sipar shalchena. The imla kachta, if you violate lo sika, you took her, lo karma kra du shalchena. Right, so again, what's Rashi saying? Exactly what you said. There is no shalach to shalach that is relevant, that's applicable after lo sika. This is what it means. And that's the second side of the Gemara, Pshat and Rabbi Yehuda. So right now the Gemara is not sure if Rabbi Yehuda's reason is because he owes Nitagasei it is, but lo, or it's not called Nitagasei at all, the Asei speaks to the very beginning. So the Gemara goes in and starts bringing Rais. So let's skip a little bit in the Gemara. The Gemara has a Braisa, the Gemara is Miyashiv, that's not a Kasha, it's not a good Braisa. The Gemara Named Beis continues, wants to be Medayik from the Lashon HaMishnah. Actually, it goes like this. The Gemara quotes Lo Sasiru first. That's the Braisa that we are probably thinking about. That's in the first line before they get wide. Tashma, actually it's the first wide line, I should say, starts from there. Lo Sasiru Menu Ad Boker, Ba'esh Tisrofu. So what do you have here? Rabbi Yehuda says that there's no Malkis by no it's a Lashon Itagase. Shema Mina, so the Gemara says, I have a Mefurish Braisa. Time of Rabbi Yehuda, Mishum Tekasava, Shlach Nekar Mashma, because Rabbi Yehuda is clearly on the record as holding the Lav Shenita Glasei is Elok in a love. That's the reason it gets by Noser. So we saw the Braisa by Noser. We saw it today in our Gemara in Makis. We saw it today in Makis. We have it here in Chulin. Mefurish, no doubt about it, Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is not that Lav Shenita Glasei Elok in a love. It's Mefurish, Yod's Elok in a love. The Gemara wants to say maybe we can medayake it from the Mishnah too, the Lashna Mishnah. What's the Lashna Mishnah? It says, Hanota im alabanim, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Loker ve'ein mishaleach. Loker ve'ein mishaleach. What does it mean, Loker ve'ein mishaleach? The Isa gedaitach, time of Rabbi Yehuda, Lav shen say Loker na love, Loker u'mishaleach mi ba'ilei. Why does he say, Loker ve'ein mishaleach? If he holds say afterwards. It's just that it's not going to help you to take away the Malkus. How can it say Loke Ve'ena Mishaleach? So if anything, doesn't the Mishnah prove the Pshat just said is clearly the Pshat that Rabbi Yehuda is saying Loke Ve'ena Mishaleach, there is no mitzvah of Shiluach. Come out in the first in the Mishnah itself. Why do you have to go bring Raya's and what even has another possibility? It's clear from the Mishnah. But it's not so, not necessarily. Dilma Hachi Kamar. We could have still by the Lashon HaMishnah, we could have read it as follows. Tar Ademalkin, in other words, Loke, the Ein Mishaleach means Mishaleach won't get you off the hook. That you still have a mitzvah with Mishaleach, you would agree. But Loke, the Ein Mishaleach means you still get Malkus. Mishaleach or not is irrelevant. So one could have read Loke, the Mishaleach to mean the mitzvah of Shiluach, but there's still going to be Malkus anyway. But at the end of the day, the Gemara still proved it because of Rabbi Yehuda by Noser. So we know clearly, definitively, Shita is Shaleach Meikara Mashma, as understood by Rashi in Chulin. It means that the mitzvah only exists in the beginning of the story, not after the violation of the lav. That's Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim, let's go back for a second to the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that Mishaleach ve'en aloke. So now you could really say two things. You could say they hold that the mitzvah exists before, but also exists afterwards, unlike Rabbi Yehuda, who says there is no mitzvah later, or the Chacham hold that the mitzvah exists specifically when asked, l'chayra, what would that depend on? The Chacham to say you're putter, if you do the Shiluach afterwards, so would that mean that you could do it before, but you could do it afterwards? Well, you can only do it afterwards. What should that depend on in Svarah, both sides? We alluded to before. If the Chacham are going to exempt you from Malkus by doing the mitzvah after the lav was violated, But if you could have done the mitzvah even beforehand, if they would agree that the mitzvah could have been before, like Rabbi Yehuda, but they also hold is that also the mitzvah is what? Is afterwards, then how could that be enough to pater you? Wouldn't that be considered a what? A lasher?
Lasher.
Because what? Because after all, you have the mitzvah to do before you violate the law. Then you'd have to assume up pater, but that's Rish Lakish. So again, in order to save it for Rabbi Yochanan, you're going to have to save Rabbi Yochanan with say the Chacham Hod, it's only a mitzvah afterwards. And for Rabbi Yehuda, well, you see in the Gemara that Meikara Masba from Rashi at least, they only exist before. L'chara, you could have said for Rabbi Yehuda, if you wanted to hold like Rabbi Yochanan, you could have said for alternatively, Rabbi Yehuda's Meikara Masma is just a way of saying that it's also Meikara, right? But maybe afterwards. Couldn't that have worked for Rabbi Yehuda? Because there's still going to be a lapsus kadmo asse. Now, the Gemara that we just read, it's not that way. The Gemara says that it says, loke the emes aleach. So why do they say loke the emes aleach? If lapsus nitagra say is loke, no, there is a mitzvah. So why emes aleach? Sounds like, but according to the pshat that we just said, that's Meikara Masma, it makes sense to Lashna Mishnah, the Emes Aleach, because there is no mitzvah shiluach. If you're going to learn, like Rabbi Yehuda, that there is a mitzvah shiluach afterwards, but there's also mitzvah shiluach before, then what's the Gemara's diuk? The diuk is as much of a kasha on the pshat that we're saying now as well. Why is it loka be'enemes aleach? You're going to have to be miyashiv and say, enemes aleach means it's not going to help you from the Malkus. But the Gemara made it seem as if a pshat of Meikara Masma, it fits without that. It's pashut. Why is it pashut? So it's partially because there is no mitzvah shiluach. So if anything, the Gemara is mashma like the pshat chulin that we just read. That the Meikara Masma means it only exists Meikara. Even though, at least in theory, Rabbi Yochanan could have read into Rabbi Yehuda, pshat of Rabbi Yehuda Meikara Masma is Meikara, but also later as well. Everyone, it's a little chesbedik, but hear what I'm saying. Okay, let's look at Rashi and see what to make of the Rashi by us. Rashi says as follows. Loke ve'en mishaleach. And this is the lesson of Yehuda. Says Rashi, Kasavar, he holds, Shaleach me'ikara masma. Shaleach means from the beginning. Lo shalachem, don't take the mother. Ela shalchena kodem l'kicha. Send her away before you take the mother. Send her away before taking her. Send her out. Even though it's written in the pasuk, shaleach tirach is written after losikach. Lav lememra, it's not in order to tell you kachta shalach that if you take the mother, then send away. Then the heavy lav shenita glase, and it should be lav shenita glase. Ella lav shekadmo asse. Rather, it's a lav shekadmo asse. Now here we have to know how much to make of the lashon Rashi. If we take Rashi literally, what Rashi's words would be implying, is that Bidash Rabbi Yehuda, Rashi is trying to tell us Yehuda that what? That Shaleach speaks to the initial story, Lo Sikach El Shaleach, but not that Rabbi Yehuda said there is a Shiluach after violating Lo Sikach, but just the fact that you could have had it before is already a reason why you get Malkus, because it's a Rashi Kadmo Asse. That's the Rashi Kadmo Asse. That was Rabbi Yochanan before. That was how Rashi explains Rashi Kadmo Asse, that you violate the Lav, you have an Asse now that you fulfill, and you're Mekayeh, but Lamaisa, that Asse existed even without the Lav. Therefore, it's not going to be viewed as a Rashi Nitag Asse. If you want to put that formulation of Rashi Kadmo Asse to this Rashi, what it would therefore be saying B'das Rabbi Yehuda is that the reason why there's Malkus is because Rabbi Yehuda holds not a Lashon Nitagase, it's a Lashon Kadmolase. How so? Because the Torah Shaleach Tishalach is speaking also to the beginning of the story, but not to preclude that there's also an Asse. But that would make Rashi here not like Rashi in Chulin, and also not like that line of Gemara that we read in Chulin, that the Gemara thought to be Medayik Rabbi Yehuda from the Russian of Loka Ve'inam Shaleach, which sounds like the Gemara is saying there is no mitzvah shiluach. The Gemara has to say, but even if you read it the other way in Rabbi Yehuda, you can say in a Masechet means you can't get potter. But according to the Pshat Meikara Mashma, it would be seemingly saying there is no mitzvah shtiluach. To read Rashi as Rashi Kadmo Asay is to suggest shtiluach, but it's still, since it exists beforehand, it's a Rashi Kadmo Asay. So if you wanted to take Rashi literally, then Rashi here would be putting into Rabbi Yehuda the idea that there's a Meikara Mashma means also Meikara, but not that there is later. But if we learned that Pshat Rabbi Yehuda, then this would only fit according to which Amora. If we wanted to learn Rabbi Yehuda's sheet of Logan Shriach based on say literally, it would only help us for which Amora?
Yochanan,
not Rish Lakish. Correct. Rish Lakish would for sure have to put Rabbi Yehuda back into another corner that Meikara means Meikara exclusively. Now, alternatively, if we want to not make Rashi fit only for Rabbi Yochanan, and we want Rashi to square with Chulin and the Gemara and Chulin, we could say that Rashi's Lashon is a little Lav Daska. Lav Shekadmo Asay just means in the sense that the Asay exists before the Lav, but not the Kadmo Asay of Rabbi Yochanan, that means that it exists afterwards as well as before. Rashi just means the Lashon Kadmo Asay that the Asay before. And that was a little bit like Rashi and Chulin, but not quite. Rashi didn't say quite as striking a language. Rashi wasn't speaking in the context of the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan, but the Rashi and Chulin was that it is ha'asei kadam. So that is not as much of a dochek to say that Rashi means that it's only before ha'asei kadam. This is a lashon of kadmo asei, and he's saying it in the middle of a sugya that we've been learning for the last couple of weeks, that the lashon kadmo asei, lashon kadmo asei, is clearly meaning that it exists afterwards, but also before. It's a little bit more of a dochek to say that Rashi's Lashon is Lav Daska, but Lamaisa, if that's what it is, that's what it is. Maybe a bit of a smach, that maybe that could be, in fact, a pshat. I found that the Rimi Lunil on the Mishnah Yud Zayin, which is the same Mishnah as we pointed out in Chulin Kuf. So the Rimi Lunil learns, it says the following words. Anota Emal Abanim, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Loke, Bishim to Avar Alosik Ha'em Alabanim, the Ein Mishaleach, says the Rimi Lunil, Kilomar, the Ein Otsarech Lishloach Ha'em. Okay, Ein Mishaleach means there's no point, there's no need for it. Sharei lo yo il klum, it's not going to do anything for you. But let's explain. Kilomar, Pater me also Malkis Bishua Shiluach. Because Savar Rabbi Yehuda, the Hashaleach Tisharach lo havi lashin nitoglasei, avo shaleach meikara masma. Kolomar, the hachi kama kra, shaleach tisharach, kidei shelo tika chayim al abonim. But have the lay, kadmo asei de lokin alav. I don't know, the Rimi Lunil says have the lay kilav she kadmo asei, but he reads it that shaleach meikara masma means kama kra, shaleach tisharach, kidei shelo tika chayim al abonim. Sounds like he's saying that the assay is only relevant before. There's no afterwards. It's not going to help you, but it's probably irrelevant also. And he calls it Havale Kilav Shekadmo Assay. So I see that he compares it on Kilav Shekadmo Assay Delokin, even though it's not mamish, the exact equivalent of Rav Yochanan's Kilav Shekadmo Assay. So maybe it's not such a bad thing to say for Rashi also. You want to make no machlokas Rashi here and Rashi elsewhere. And the Sugyan Chulin, maybe Rashi will have to interpret it in that manner as well. That's for Rabbi Yehuda. Let's go to the Chachamim now. So the Chachamim, what do they hold? Says Rashi Viter, back by us, the Chachamim Omrim, Kasavi Shaleach Achar Losikach. They hold the Shaleach is after the Losikach, Kedesiv, like it's written in the Pasuk. V'havelenita Glasei, V'im L'karta Shaleach. So what is Rashi saying? V'das Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda, we were a bit ambiguous. What Rabbi Yehuda meant that it's only before or also before. But the Chachamim, L'chara, are saying that what? That the Asay is specifically speaking to the situation of a personal the lo sikach ha'im ha'rabanin. Zeh ha'klal, kol mitzvah lo sasei, en lo kelea el yikai ma'asei v'yipate. So if this is Shitas Chachamim, what would be the analogy that you could think of, for example, of another example that the assay is specifically about after the lab was violated? Give me a few examples that we know about.
No, sir.
Sorry, what else?
Zela.
Zela, right. The Heshiv is like Zela is specifically after violating Lo Sigzo. After violating what? The Lo Sasiru. So according to what we're seeing in the Chachamim right now, the mitzvah of Shaliach Tishlach is only said in the wake of a Lo Sikachem Al-Bam. It's like it's Ke'en like the Heshiv is like Zela. There's no Shaliach Tishlach. Interesting. The same way we said in Rabbi Yehuda that it's conceivable that there is no shaliach to shalach after violating the law, meikar mash means specifically at the time when you're facing the kansipor, there's an iser lo sikach and a mitzvah shaliach to shalach, and with that you won't violate either of those two things. According to the Chachamim, afterwards there's nothing for Rabbi Yehuda. The Chachamim is the opposite. The Chachamim, there is no shaliach to shalach in the beginning. The shaliach to shalach is like Shaliach Tisharach is after you violate Lo Sikach, then it's Shaliach Tisharach. There's no mitzvah. Imagine, people talk about Shiloh HaKein all the time, right? So, if Shaliach Tisharach, according to what we see for the Chachamim right now, what is Shaliach Tisharach? It's a situation where you violate an Isser, the Torah tells you what to do in the wake of the Isser of Lo Sikach. It's not, in fact, a mitzvah, a priori to begin with. Very interesting. Would anyone have thought this way before you walked into Shiloh? Appearing today, I mean, there's no mitzvah shaliach tishalach. Imagine that. But so it would seem. So it would seem from many indications. Let me just give you a few. The Rambam. The Rambam, in a couple of places, is very much sounding this way. In Sefer Mitzvahs, in Mitzvahs Asay, I couldn't tell you for sure. In the Asay. I think I gave that to you to look at, but in the Asay, the Rambam has, remembers what mitzvah Asay it was? Was it, anyone remember what it was?
Yes.
What?
Kuf Mem. Okay.
What? Was it Kuf something? What was it?
Kuf Mem.
What is it?
Kuf Mem Ches.
Kuf Mem Ches. Okay. Here, I don't think you have a Hechra so much. Well, is also mitzvah say. So it's not clear what the Rambam means. Could be meikara, could be after, could be both. In the Lav, the Rambam says, he said, Zivano mikachas kanat zipor, be'esat seida, abonim. That's what I told you before, that the Isser is to take both. Now, that, again, from now, from this Rambam, again, I don't know that the mitzvah did not exist before. Maybe it's compared to a lav shel kadmo asei, and maybe the Rambam will hold kadmo asei is ein lokin alav, right? But here's the catch. There's a few other Rambams that make it very clear that the Rambam seems to say that the mitzvah shel kadmo asei is exclusively relevant to the case or person violates Lo Sikach. So, for example, in Shoresh Vav, in the Sefer HaMitzvah, he has, of course, the 14th Shereshim. We've mentioned this a few times. But the Rambam gives you klolim, what mitzvahs count, what mitzvahs don't count. The Rambam, in the beginning there, talks about an asay and a los asay, where the count can include both. In the Ramach asays, you can count the asay of that mitzvah, and the shasalat, and you can count the los asay. And he gives you different examples of this idea. So he says you can have as follows. You can have an asay velo sasay in three different ways, and all of those ways you can count the asay in the minyan of mitzvahs of the asay and the lo sasay in the minyan of lo sasay. You can have it in one way as follows. If you have a situation of a person who has that this particular mandate means if you violate it, you violate an asay and a lo sasay. For example, resting on Shabbos. If a person does melacha on Shabbos, or Shemitah, so what happens? He violates Lo Sasach HaMelacha, he violates the Lav of Shemitah, he also violates the Asay that the Torah says to rest. The land should rest, you should rest. The Menucha is the person violates an Asay and a Lo Sasay, so that Asay gets counted in the Minyan Mitzvahs of the Asay, the Mitzvah of Tishbos, and the Lo Sasach HaMelacha is going to count in the Minyan of Lo Sasay. One example. Yeah, it gives other examples like that, Yom Kippur. Then you have a second example. Second example is a Lav Shekadmo Asay. He gives the example, say, Ones Umotzi Shemra. v'lo siya li'isha. It's a mitzvah saseh. V'yuchel shalcha kol yama v'zlo saseh. And then he has a third example. If you have a lav, kodem v'achar ken yinatek laseh. Again, the case of ones is interesting. He has a lav to kodmo laseh, because you can be kind of will see Elisha beforehand and you have it afterwards. Okay, you have the Sugya Sagamara of Amod Achzer and all that, but meanwhile there's an Aseh that exists even before. And then you have an Aseh that only exists afterwards. What's his example? Lav Kodem V'acha Kinatik Aseh Kimo Omro Losika Cha'em Al Habonim V'acha Kein Shalech T'Shalech Esa'em. Mefurish in the Rambam that Shalech T'Shalech Esa'em same as Losia Li'isha by Ones and Emosi Shemra. The Aseh is specific to the instance of violating Losika Chaim, and all these examples, as you count the Aseh, you count the Los Aseh. That's the Rambam in Shoresh Vav of Sefer Mitzvahs. Furthermore, in Hilchos Shchita, where you find the Rambam codifying the Halacha Chaim, so we know in the beginning of all the Halachas, the Rambam always tells you the mitzvahs that are going to be covered by these series of halachas. So you Rambam open up Hilchos whatever. Before Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph starts, you'll see what's called a koseres. In Hilchos X, we're going to have this many mitzvahs, this many aseis, these mitzvahs. And there's a lot of medayik often from even the way the Rambam phrases the mitzvahs that are going to be covered in those halachas. And that's, it just shows you how important the Rambam saw the Sefer Mitzvahs as being connected to his Mishneh Torah. This is another shmooze. The Rambam saw Mishneh Torah and Sefer Mitzvahs is very much integrated, and that's Mishneh Torah. He always falls back on what mitzvahs are going to be spoken about in the halachas. So here in Hilchos Shechita, he tells me there's five mitzvahs, three aseis, and here they are. So number four and number five, says the Rambam. Number four, shelo likacha em al habanim. In Hilchos Shechita, I'm going to cover the Isser lo likacha em al habanim. Number five, l'shaleach ha'em imlokcha al habanim. I repeat, l'shaleach ha'em imlokcha al habanim. You can't get much more clear than that, right? The asei ashleach tisharach means l'shaleach ha'em imlokcha al habanim. In other words, the mitzvah is specific and limited to the instance of a violation of l'sikach ha'em. This is what the Rambam seems to be saying in the Koseret. More clearly as well, in Hilchos Shechita Perek Yud Gimel, the Rambam begins Perek Yud Gimel, this is now the Mitzvah Shalach HaKein, Perek Yud Gimel. You would expect the Rambam to say, Mitzvah Saseh of Shalach Tishalach. No, he doesn't start that way. Because there is not no such thing as Mitzvah Saseh. You wouldn't start with Zela by saying Mitzvah Saseh of the Heshiv. You first start with saying there's a lav of Zela. You don't start the Mitzvah. If the mitzvah doesn't exist within the context of the Rav, you don't start talking about the mitzvah, as I say. So the Rambam writes, Halokeach em alabanim, the shachta. So the Rambam says, Lokeach shchita se'em. And the Rambam says, Vim shilcha acha shilakcha pater, you won't get malchus. V'chein kol mitzvah lo sa'asei, shenitka la'asei, chayiv l'kayim asei, shokim aloke. So there is an asev shalach tishalach, in the same way there's a mitzvah sa'asei to burn nosar, and it's a mitzvah say to be meisha v'gzela. Shitas HaRambam, apparently. The Ramban in the Mulchamos, I think, also seems to say this. I found just a second, literally 1 second. There's one line I found in the Mulchamos at the end of the paragraph, the one that we started, but we didn't really read much into it. The very end, the Ramban says, Umifarkinan v'tikune lavi v'asha v'hachi masma. What's the tikun alav of Shaleach T'Shalach? Lo sikach, ve'im lakachta, shaleach t'shalach. In other words, shaleach t'shalach is specifically the remedy for the lo sikach. Now, someone had a question?
Yeah.
Go ahead, yeah.
I don't know the exact practicality of how, the mechanics of how they work, but it's starting to sound somewhat like a mitzvah baba avera.
So let me tell you something very interesting. I'm very glad you raised this issue, because there's a very interesting of the Rashba. Let me see if I have it here somewhere. Give me 1 second. I don't know if I left it. The Shuvas HaRashba it's actually in two different places. In Chelek Aleph Siman Yud Ches of Shuvah Sarazbah, and the same exact tshuva appears in the Shuvah Sarazbah Miucheses Goramban Siman Kuf Peites. It's not as identical. It's both the Shuvah Sarazbah. It's just one is, you can find it in two different places. The question is, why don't we make Birchas HaMitzvah on many mitzvahs that we know about that don't have a Birchas HaMitzvah? In other words, why not make a bracha on, for example, whatever, you know, there are many mitzvahs that don't have a bracha, matnas aniyim, tzedakah, hanukkah. So he has different kolim. He says, it's not like I can tell you one answer for all of the above. You have to know there are different kolim when you have a birchas mitzvah. So he writes, b'socha dvarim, and Ram also says this, v'chein, kol mitzvah, it's a few lines into the tshuva, kol mitzvah shehi ba mitoch aveira, kigon hashavas hagzeira, v'chazoras haribis, shelo tzivanu rigzol kidei lohashiv, v'likach es ha'em kidei shenachzor v'nesalech osa, v'al kayotzi ba'elu. So the Rambam puts three mitzvahs in the same story that they don't get a bracha for the same reason. Mitzvah she'ibam mitoch aveira, kigon, he says, hashavas hagzeira, you don't make a or chazoras ribis, there's a mitzvah to return the ribis if you took ribis. And he adds, v'likach aim k'deis enachzav v'neshaleach osa. Let's take the mother in order that we should be able to violate it in order to mekayim the mitzvah. There's no mitzvah on taking the mother to be mishaleach because basically it's a mitzvah ba mitoch aveira. So exactly, this is Tshuva Chelek Aleph Yud Ches, and in the Tshuva HaMiuchasas LiHaRamban, Siman Kuf Pei Tes, a few lines into the Tshuva. So it's mamish what you were mechavin to, Yitzchak Genetzin, mamish said. The whole mitzvah, Aseh Shriach Teshalach, again, does this hold up l'halacha? We have to go check it out. Let me give you an example. Clearly the sheet of all the Rishonim, obviously not. The Sefer HaChinuch codifies the mitzvah of Shaleach Teshalach, right? Tov Kuf Mem Dalid, Shalalikach Ha'em Me'al Habanim. Interesting, his Lashon is Me'al Habanim, that's his heading. Then he says, Kansipor, O Habetzin, Elas in the Shaleach Ha'em. So it sounds like, right away, he says, Lo Nikach, Elas in the Shaleach. He doesn't say after the Shaleach. But even more explicitly, Mitzvah Tov Kuf Mem Hei. Mitzvah shiluach ha'kein, says the chinuch, v'shaleach ha'em min ha'kein, kodem sheyikach ha'banim. So he says mefurish that the mitzvah shaleach teshalach exists before you take, right beforehand. The mitzvah shaleach. And the chinuch says if a person doesn't do it right, if he takes ha'em me'al ha'banim, what has he violated? V'over alzeh, v'lakach ha'em ba'od al ha'banim. Sounds again a little bit like Rashi. Bitel aseizeh milvaj over alav duosika chayim. So the chinuch is saying here that a person who takes the mother alabanim violates the lav and the asay. So according to the chinuch, it's not that the shalach is only a mitzvah like a veheshiv esagzela after the fact. Then you have a mitzvah. So there's a bitel mitzvah by violating osikach. You're violating not just losikach. What else are you violating at the same time? What else are you violating? What? Shaleach teshalach. Now that sounds like one way that we thought about in Rabbi Yehuda. If you remember, one of the possibilities in Rabbi Yehuda was that there's malchus because it's going to be lav shekadmo aseh because the mitzvah already exists before. Again, that would assume lav shekadmo aseh would be lokin alav. If you hold lav shekadmo aseh in lokin alav, to assume in the Chachamim, and this is apparently what the Chinuch is saying, that the mitzvah of Shaleach Teshalach exists before, but he's clearly not holding Rabbi Yehuda. We don't know we hold Mishaleach Ve'en Aloke, and the Chinuch says a Mefurish. That's not Malkus unless you Mevato the essay or you leave it the Mesa Ha'en, you hold Kimavu, that they say it's not possible to be Mekuyim anymore. So the Chinuch must be learning B'das Chachamim that you have the mitzvah before, and that's why you can mevatel that mitzvah if if you violate losikach, you violate also the asay of sarach to sarach. But why does it say mesarach? Because that same mitzvah also can serve as a tikkun, can double as a tikkun after the fact. But it's very different than the Rambam. Even though the Chinuch is tracking the Rambam, and mitzvah itself in the Rambam, you wouldn't know by the mitzvah itself of Shuach HaKein how he's learning it. But from the other indications, we see mefurish that the Rambam understood it mamish eshev esagzela. It's only if you took the mother, the shaleach the shalach. So again, you have really a range of possibilities here that we're playing with, Yehuda and the Chachamim. You have the idea on the one extreme that it's only a mitzvah beforehand, and after Vayim L'Sigach there is no Shaleach T'Shalach. That's one way to read Rabbi Yehuda's Meikara Mashma, the Mashmos of Rashi and Chulin and the Sugyan Chulin. We have the possibility in the middle that there exists a mitzvah beforehand, and as well afterwards, and that's the Chinuch. Now, to say that you're not going to get Malkus is to assume that that too would be enough of a Nituk. If your old Gavsha Kadmah say Lokin Olav, then Lachorah, that should get Malkus because it's still a say that could have been done before, so you have to know. And then you have the other side, which is the Rambam that we saw, the few Rambams, that the Shi and the Ramban and Mochamo, that the mitzvah of the Chachamim, if Shaliach Tisharach and the Rashba and the Tshuva, is like a mitzvah that's Bar Mitoch Avera, that the entire Shaliach Tisharach is only after you did Losikach, and that's why there's no Bracha. According to the Chinuch, we could consider having a Bracha, right? You have to know, that's all coming out of one Mishnah that we're trying just to sort out. Now, in the Ritva, I think there's something of a stira. I'm bothered by the Ritva here for the following reason. We could just try to, you know, look at the Ritva, how he reads it. He said something over here, and he also says something in the beginning of the Sugya, on Kadmu Asay. I don't know how to put them together. And I think the Ma'or is on the bottom in the notes. Let's start with the Ritva Bayas, and then I'll mention the Ritva earlier. As the Ritva writes as follows. Hanoto aim ala Yehuda melokim v'shaleach. Fine. We explained the reason for Yehuda in Chulin, in Tarkshua Chakein, the shaleach neikara mashma. He quotes the pshat of Rabbi Yehuda from the Gemara in Chulin, Koloma lo sikacha aim ala banim ela shalcha. Rather send her away, v'akach zman tikach lach, v'chein pirulah izal. Interesting. So he attributes this to Rashi. Rashi where? Rashi in sure. Rashi here, wait a second. How did Rashi end? The words of Rashi here ended with what? Rashi's words here were ambiguous. We said Rashi ends Elu Lavshehu. Now the Ritva continues. The Lav Mishum Taima de Lavshe Kadmo Asay. That which Rabbi Yehuda holds Lokin because of the rule of Kadmo Asay Lokin. Why can't it be that? The Imkain Tikshi Livesh Lokis. The Amal Lapsa Kadmo Asay in Lokin Alav. Right? Because then it doesn't go with Rish Lokis, who says Kadmo Asay in Lokin Alav. And you can't tell me the Lekala Mema to take a Milsa de Leel Kirabana and Lok Rav Yehud, Uchas Togin de Leel, Daminazu Tamay. You can't make Rish Lokis go. Now the Rabbi Yehuda, because the sugya before was saying Rish Lakish is within Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. That was just the Gemara yesterday, the earlier Gemara. So we have to, Rabbi Yishlokish's Shita and everything he holds about us, Basafik and Kimo Velokimo and all that has to be within Rabbi Yehuda, as the Gemara said. And then Rabbi Yehuda, to hold the Rav Shekhan Moasei is going to be Lokin Alav, is not going to stem with Rish Lakish, who holds in Lokin Alav. So what's the... So it must be Ella the Amalach Rish Lakish. Here's the difference. Amalach Rish Lakish, the Shani Hacha, the Lo Kasa Rachmana, the Imla Kachta Shalach. It doesn't say that if you did the Aveira, then Shaleach, can you see by no service, Aratus, and no Sabaesh, O Beesh, if it's Agzela. It doesn't talk to the case after the fact that you did Lo Sikach. Hilkach, Afa Gab de Kaspina Libisof, Lo Ba Kasa, we're not Kalase. The Pasuk. Tell me that the lav is nitagase elo loma lo tikach elo shalach. So what's the Ritva saying, black and white, pshat and Rabbi Yehuda? That the shalach meikar mashma means what? That strictly speaking, the asay only exists at the initial. Don't take the mother, but send away the mother. That's according to Rish Lakish. What could change according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda? What could change? Rav Yochanan Savar, listen to this. The first says we could actually make Pesach Rav Yehuda depend on Rav Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish has no choice but to corner Rav Yehuda to say Meikara Masma, only Meikara. Were I to admit that there's going to be an assay after Lo Sikach, then there'd be no Malkus, because that's also the equivalent of Nitak Assay. So Rish Lakish is going to be forced to learn Pesach Meikara to say it means only beginning and not after. The Rav Yochanan Savar says the Ritva, the time of Rav Yehuda Mishum the Efshel Kodem Alav. Ah, so what did the Ritva say? Vade Rav Shnitagasei who Afilu Rav Yehuda. What does that mean? He said it's a Nitagasei, but it's a Nitagasei of what variety? It's what type of a Nitagasei? Nitagasei means in a sense that there is an assay. Rabbi Yehuda agrees there's an assay. But what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? That there'll be Malkus. Why would there be Malkus? Because since it's Efshel Kaimo Kodem Alav. So what did the Ritva say? But that's Rabbi Yochanan according to Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yochanan's take in Rabbi Yehuda? That what? That you can Mekayim it before, but you can Mekayim it afterwards, making it into what? Into Alav Shekodem Alasei, which is why Rabbi Yochanan says Rabbi Yehuda holds Lokin.
Rabbi?
Wait, one second. And what did the Rabbanan hold? Abu Rabbanan pligi lo masper salach elo lebesof. Lachikas rachmano lebesof. In other words, what would the Chacham have to hold? So now he's going according to who? Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish. If Rabbi Yochanan reads Rabbi Yehuda, everything is like dominoes. You understand? If Rabbi Yochanan, we could make Rabbi Yehuda be totally extreme, or we can limit the machlok. So the question is, what's Rabbi Yehuda? And where do we shift the Chachamim to, or vice versa? So according to Rish Lakish, let's consider it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda could very well agree that there is an assay afterwards. But since you could have been the kind of assay before, you'll get Malkus. What in the Chacham have to hold? They have to hold that the assay is only afterwards. And that's why... That's why there won't be Malkus, because it's strictly Nitak Asay in the purest form. It's not a Kadmo Asay at all. What would Rish Lakish hold Bidas Rabbi Yehuda? He has to make Rabbi Yehuda Masma to mean it's only in the beginning. What about the Chachamim? Does he have to hold the Chachamim hold that it's only afterwards? Or could Rish Lakish conceivably hold like the Sefer HaChinuch? In other words, that what? That the Chachamim Shita is that you can mekayim it before, but you can also mekayim it afterward, and that's good enough to be Malkus. You follow me? L'chaira, the specific shita of Rabbi Yehuda, and conversely, Chachamim would shift with fear of Yochanan and according to Rish Lakish. Whoever holds Kadmo Asay Lokin Alav could pin that on Rabbi Yehuda. Whoever holds, and make it a Kadmo Asay, and say there's an Asay before and after. Whoever holds Kadmo Asay's Ein Lokin Alav could pin that on the Chachamim, and the Chacham agree that there's an Asay before as well as after, but also before. And that's what I think I see in this Ritva. Okay, who's asking? Who's speaking before you? Go ahead. Rabosa, you hear what the Chesmen that comes out of this Ritva over here? Yeah. One second, I'm just going to add maybe one akuda. We were medayik from the Gemara in Chulin, from the Shaka V'Taya there. The Gemara was that said it must be that Rabbi Yehuda is not the Nitagasei, it's Lokin Alav, but Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is based on the Ikara Mashma because of the language of the Mishnah. The language of the Mishnah is Lokin, the Eina Mishnah. Sounds like there's no Mitzvah Shiluach. So it sounds from the Gemara that the Ikara Mashma means that only Meikara, not both. So that's what we medayik. That Gemara is going according to which Amora. The Gemara would deal with after Kadmo Asay is Ein Lokin Alav, like Rish Lakish. So the Gemara's Meikara Mashma had to follow Rish Lakish's Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. But maybe Rabbi Yochanan could have that Mishaleach, Lokev Ein Mishaleach, would have to mean that he's not going to be Potter from the Malkus, but the mitzvah shiluach does exist later as Barak. Yes, go ahead.
when the Ritva is describing Rabbi Yochanan, understanding of Rabbi Yehuda.
Yes.
So he's saying that he's calling it a lav anidik laaseh, but it's also a lav shekhan laaseh?
Yes. You see, they're still they're the same family. He means nidik laaseh as opposed to that's irrelevant. That's what he means by the nidik laaseh. It's nidik laaseh, but there could be a nidik laaseh that you could fulfill before the lav, and nidik laaseh you can fulfill after the lav. So that's what we're calling kad laaseh, or nidik laaseh of the variety that you could have fulfilled it before. So what we see in this mitzvah is that what we thought is focus, the Rambam and the Chinuch, the Das Chachamim, do the Chachamim hold that the mitzvah of Shaliach Tishach is only after you violate Lo Sikach, and there's no mitzvah at all to begin with of Shaliach Tishach, or it's like a Beheshev Sakzela. It a mitzvah before Shaliach Tishalach, like the Chinuch says, but it's also relevant afterwards. Well, the Chachamim say, Mishaleach ve'in aloke. So that you're going to be part of a Malkus. So what comes out of this mitzvah is this Machokus would depend on whether we paskin Lav Shekad Moaseh, Loken Alav, like Rabbi Yochanan says, or in Loken Alav, like Rish Lakish. If you hold Loken Alav, like Rabbi Yochanan, then we're going to have to end up like the Rambam and assume the Chachamim hold that it's the reason why you put it from out is because there was no mitzvah beforehand, only afterwards. If we will hold Rav Shekad Moaseh is in Loken Alav like Rish Lakish, then we're free to say that there's a mitzvah before as well as after, but it's good enough to take away the Malkus. That's what comes out of reading this mitzvah right now. Just to end with the mitzvah earlier. When the mitzvah, we spoke about Kad Moaseh, you see why I took a whole shiur just to discuss one little Mishnah, right? You see that. Okay, we couldn't get to the Gemara today, but we will meet tomorrow. The Ritva right away in discussing Kad Moaseh relates to this situation of Shiloh HaKein. But he says, when he quotes Rashi, that what does Lo Saseh Shekad Moaseh mean? If you could be Mekayim Daseh, Kodem Akiras Halav. He says, even though you're Mekayim it afterwards, but you could have been Mekayim it before. Like, no sir, like, the hechidami nitok would be no sub. Couldn't mekayim it before. But kadmah say you couldn't mekayim it before. The nira medivra rabbeinu says that kadmah say Rav Yochanan has to do with even if it's written later, you couldn't mekayim it before. V'hachi mashma vada, and that's for sure mashma that way. Why? The halal Rabbi Yehuda lav deshulach broken alav. Rabbi Yehuda said lav deshulach can get malchus. Uparishta time of beduchta, we explain in its place in Chulin, it would be day shaleach meikara mashma, because shaleach is meikara. But I forgot to see basa lo sikach. Rabban sabi shaleach mashma. So what's he bringing a raya? You see, Rashi is correct that if you can, even if it's written afterwards, if you mekayim it before, it's called kadmo asay. Why? Because we explained in Rabbi Yehuda that wa shaleach meikara mashma. So what's he assuming? Shaleach mashma meaning that it also exists before, but also after, but you couldn't mekayim it before. Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying, Rabbi Yochanan. But for Rish Lakish, if you argue Rabbi Yochanan, then you have a whole different take on Rabbi Yehuda's meikara mashma, and you'll have meikara mashma meaning only before, like the Gemara Chulin mashma, like Rashi's mashma in Chulin. So how can he bring a raya pshat in Rabbi Yochanan from a pshat in Rabbi Yehuda that's only correct if you hold like Rabbi Yochanan? Define the issue here. So how can he bring a raya? For all we know, the case of Rabbi Yehuda is irrelevant because Rabbi Yehuda shaleach mekar mashma could mean only mekar, and then you can't use that as any kind of an indication of what kad moaseh means. You're trying to prove the definition of kad moaseh that you couldn't mekayim it. You could be mekayim it before, even if you mekayim it afterwards as well. What's his raya from Rabbi Yehuda's meikara mashma? I don't understand. Rabbi Yehuda's meikara mashma could mean what Rakesh is going to say. So what are you saying? How could you bring this as an indication in any way on this? I don't know. That's my tzarech iyun, exactly what he meant. I understand he means it based on what he said later in Rabbi Yochanan, but right now we're holding on the definition issue. So it could be this issue, maybe Rabbi Yochanan, for all we knew, Rabbi Yochanan could also hold that Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's only a mitzvah beforehand. I mean, it doesn't have to be a kadmo asay of Rabbi Yochanan's variety. It could be a. We pointed that out at the time that we first read the Ritzah, but now we understand what's bothering us more. Maybe there's a lot to say to be miyashiv this, just in terms of cheshbon. You can think about it. I wanted to leave. Okay, so lots of chazer, a lot to think about. Hopefully, not too complicated. But of course, we go by term yafishem in terms of the Gemara, the Shaka Mataria. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful day. Shkai after everyone for coming, and much bracha.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.